Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Exodus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Exodus chapter 31, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 18, where we see that whether you're 8 or 80 years old, God has a calling on your life. You have an anointing on your life, and by God's Spirit, He will show you what it is. Now let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Exodus chapter 31.
Exodus chapter 31, as we get ready to dive into this text here, I just want to kind of share a sort of interesting story with you that kind of happened to me here a couple of days ago. And, you know, these types of things, I don't know. I mean, I kind of think this was God. I'm not 100% sure. But Sunday night, we were hanging out as a family, as we always do on Sundays. And we were watching the football games, and I got a text message from another iPhone to my phone, which is an iPhone, and I'll come back to that in a second here and tell you why I say that. And the message was from one of the brothers here, and he just basically was encouraging me about Sunday morning's message and how he was just blessed the way that the Lord had led me to present it to the body here, and just uplifting, encouraging words. And so I responded to this guy. We didn't talk. He didn't know where I was at. I didn't tell him where I was at. I didn't tell anybody where I was at, what I was feeling. But as a preacher, as a teacher, I mean, no one else here probably can completely relate to this, but you certainly struggle often with just inadequacy. It's heavy. You're just standing before the people constantly, giving out God's word. And just for me, I take it so serious that I just try to keep myself, like God's a cloud or something, and I just want to stay right below Him so that I can just, whatever He rains down on me, I can just pour out onto you guys. It's such a dreadful thought to think that I would ever do anything without the Lord leading and guiding and anointing and, you know, just propelling me, if you would. And so sometimes I just get weary, but not in a bad way. Don't, like, send me a sympathy card afterwards or something. It's not like that. Just I don't even realize it sometimes. Just sometimes you just kind of feel drained. That's probably the best way. So he encouraged me with this text message, and I was really blessed, and I just wrote back to him. Now, again, iPhone to iPhone, my phone will show up blue, my message to him. And I wrote back to him, showed up blue, saying, "Thank you so much for your prayers. I really appreciate it, man. The warfare is intense, so I covered the prayers. I'm praying for you, too." Something like that. And then, like, 2 seconds later, my phone beeped, and I had a text message again, but it was in blue, which would mean that would be my writing, but I didn't write anything. I already sent my message, and it was in blue, and it said something along the lines of this, and I wish I paid more attention, but I didn't. It said something like, "I hear what you're saying, but keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher. He's going to complete in you what He started. I love you. I'll see you tomorrow night," which this was Sunday. Tomorrow night was prayer meeting. And so, actually, to be honest, I kind of was tripped up, well, for two reasons. One, it was blue, and I didn't send the message, and why would a message be sent to me in blue? That didn't make any sense. And second of all, the person that sent this to me doesn't normally come to prayer meeting. And so I went back to look at it again, like, oh, maybe they're going to come to prayer, and wait, is this what he really just said? And the text was gone. I couldn't find the text anymore. And so I scrolled through my messages, because in iPhones, iPhone, it keeps your whole log of conversations back and forth. So I'm like, maybe I scrolled up when I read the message, and it was something that he wrote in the past, and there was nothing there. And I know I saw it. I know that I believe, honestly, like the Lord, or maybe an angel or something, typed me a text message. Either that or I was really exhausted on Sunday from a long day. No, I wasn't. I made it up, actually, for the rest of the night to watch the Yankees spank the Orioles that night and everything. But anyways, that's besides the point. I got this message, and Lord, I really believe it was from the Lord, and somehow or another that He used my phone, because it was gone. It's never happened before, and it hasn't happened since. Nothing like that. And the Lord just ministered to me through this guy, which really wasn't him. It was the Lord, and just encouraged me to keep going, keep going, keep going, because God has a call. And I share that with you because it's not just me. God has a call on every single person here. We're going to talk about that a lot tonight. In fact, I've kind of chosen to slow down in a portion of Exodus here that normally I wouldn't. This is not a chapter I would normally teach by itself. It's only 18 verses, and it's kind of just like an interval. We just have been spending weeks with Moses on top of Mount Sinai. He's been receiving the law. He's been receiving all of the detailed instruction to construct the tabernacle and all the furnishings that would go inside. And he's been there for 40 days. And so he's getting ready from chapter 30 to 32 to come down with the law. And we have this interval chapter, chapter 31, only 18 verses, again, that I would normally pair up with another chapter. But it's just where the Lord had us, and I didn't want to rush through it. And chapter 32 is such a great chapter that I just figured we're just going to chill here tonight and allow the Lord to minister to us. So listen, we're going to be flipping around a little bit, and we don't do that often. So hang with me, follow me where I lead you here as we go to different portions of Scripture. I'm taking you there and asking you to turn there as we get there, because it's really important you see these verses. It's really important that your Bible becomes your own personal love letter from the Lord to you. If you're a marker, you want to mark it up and write in it and underline and date. And just let this relationship with God be personal and cultivate that you would grow in that and allow God just to be so real to you. It is not just a general God. He's not just my God. He's not just the God of this church. He's to be your God. He's to be your Savior, your Lord, the one who speaks to you personally. He desires that. Don't you? Don't you desire to hear from him tonight? Isn't that why you came? You came because you need a word from the Lord. You came because you need him to speak to you. And I believe that he is showing me to slow down tonight so that we can kind of just mosey through, if you would, chapter 31. So if I could, let's draw your attention here to chapter 31, verse 1 of Exodus. Let's read the first six verses together, and then we'll go back and break it up and kind of see here what God's going to do. So beginning in verse 1, we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, notice, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Verse 4, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Verse 6, and I, notice, behold, I have given with him Eliab, the son of Ahizamak of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee." So here we go. Since we've been journeying through Exodus, our main characters have been Moses, Moses and Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh. We've had Miriam, their sister, kind of come up into the scene. We've had, no doubt, that interesting scene there back in the beginning. Moses, his wife, throwing his foreskin at him. Remember his son's foreskin at him. These are some of the folks that have been highlighted as we've gone through. We've had Pharaoh's army. We've had the 70 elders raised up. But now all of a sudden we're going to come to this guy that we're introduced to in verse 2, Bezalel. This is who the chapter kind of revolves around, a very important figure. It says again, the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 1, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel." Bezalel wasn't voted in by a board of elders. Bezalel wasn't voted in by the congregation. In fact, Bezalel didn't apply for anything. He's at the bottom of Mount Sinai having no clue what is going on between you and I, Moses. This is something that I have done. I have called this man. You see, and that is something that should be personal to each of us tonight, that God has called each of us, each of you that are here tonight, God has called you unto something. God has called you. Hold your place here and come with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, please. Even if these verses are familiar to you, it's so important that you see them, that you have them before your eyes, that you can know the Lord's heart towards you. right in the beginning, hey, Moses, there's a man that I have called. Not somebody who applied for a career, but somebody that I am calling in my sovereignty. Somebody that I have chosen for my ministry. Jeremiah chapter 1, just a young guy, just a young man at the time, feeling super inadequate, feeling completely unworthy, undeserving of anything that has to do with eternity, of anything that has to do with deity. And we come to these verses in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, and it says that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Man, how awesome is that? Before you were even formed in your mom's belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart. And I ordained thee. There's a key word. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Hey, before you were even ever born, before you were even an apple in your mom's eye, he uses this intimate word that I knew thee and I set you apart for a specific work, something that I was going to do in and through you. It wasn't going to be you, Jeremiah. It was something that I was going to work in and through you. This is something that I've had planned, as Paul would tell us in Ephesians chapter 1, before the foundation of the world. And that applies to you tonight. You can come back now to Exodus, but that applies to you tonight. Maybe you're feeling like an outcast tonight. Maybe you're feeling like a failure tonight, wherever life has you. Maybe you feel like you've blown it in your profession or in a relationship with somebody, and you just feel like a reject. And God is saying to you tonight, right off the bat in this Bible study, I've called you. The very fact that you're here tonight is not a coincidence. God is speaking to your heart. He's saying you didn't just show up, even if you think you just showed up. The fact that you're in the hearing of a message like this, God is saying, this is divine. This is an appointment that I've set apart with you, that I want you to know that I've called you. You're of worth to me. To be called by somebody means that you're of value, you're of worth. God's saying, I've called on you. I have something set apart that only you can do. Did you ever think about that? That honestly, that God calls us before we're born for a work that only we can really do, because he built us that way. He fashioned us such so that we would be adequate by his grace to perform whatever it is that the task is before us. Now, don't get me wrong. If God has called me to be a pastor, I know that more than I know anything else in this life. But if I don't rise to the occasion, I say, this is just too tough. It's too intense. I'm too young. I have little kids, and I'm busy. This just isn't for me. I'm done. Then God doesn't need me. He'll raise somebody else up in my stead. But he's fashioned me in such a way that only I can do what he has called me to do, because it's his plan from the beginning. Does that make sense to you? And God is saying to you tonight, I've called you. I've called you. Notice what he says here. I love how detailed God is. I have called by name. I love how personal, don't you? Because maybe you're here tonight, you're like, no, Dave. I know he called you, or I know he called the other pastors, the elders. Not me. Then God says, yes, I did. I called you by name. Yeah, but there's a lot of Daves. If you're Mike, you're feeling real good. There's a ton of Mikes. Joe, nope, ton of Joes. I mean, there's 18 Joes in my family alone. There's Louie, oh, forget it. It's not this Louie. There's so many Louies. Whatever your name would be, oh no, Kim, Melissa, Matt, whatever it is. No, not me. There's many of those. It can't be me. God says, I know how you think. So I'm going to give you even more description. I called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. God knows exactly who we are. Our call predates our birth. God knows what he's getting himself into. I called you. Man. So it's weird, because that kind of gives you, doesn't it? It kind of gives you like an excitement, like God called me. But it also kind of gives you a hesitation, like God called me, doesn't it? I mean, for me, and I'm going to talk about me a little bit as I journey through this, because I want to be real with you and personal with you as we move through. It's a Bible study, and it's laid back, and we have that privilege. And I'm not saying anything in a way where I'm trying to boast or brag. I'm just trying to connect with you and apply God's word tonight in a way that I can make sense of it. I know that God called me to pastor since I was a kid. I know many of you have heard this. But when God called me, when it was time to step up 2 years ago next month, when God called me to do it, I know that there was like this great excitement and, I don't know, humbling experience that I went through, because, I mean, God Almighty called me. This is greater than the president. This is greater than any prime minister. This is the creator of the universe who spoke the earth into existence. When he called me, I was elated, but I was also overwhelmed and terrified, like God called me, right? I don't know, maybe you're kind of in that way. Maybe I haven't convinced you yet that God has called you, but I pray and hope by the time we journey through the remainder of this chapter that you would believe this, because God's word declares that he has called us to something. I've called you, Bezaleel, and if you're going to try to, you know, weasel your way out of this by saying, well, there's a lot of Bezaleels. Yeah, right, who would name their kid that? But even if there is a lot of those, you're amongst 2 to 3 million people, perhaps there wasn't. I want to make this more specific. I know your dad. I know your granddad. I saw you in them. Your calling predates your birth. In the very meaning of this man's name, in the shadow of God. Oh, it's great when you're called and you just stay in the shadow of God, isn't it? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Okay, God, you've called me. I'm just going to stay in your shadow. Because in order to be in somebody's shadow, that means I have to abide in their presence. That's where the confidence comes. God's calling. I'm calling you. And something I want to say before we move through to the next verse here is God's calling equals God's enabling. God's calling me to something, that means he's going to enable it. He's going to enable me. And even though Bezaleel's we see as we journey through here, he's not going to be called to be the priest. He's not going to be called to be Moses, but he has the same anointing, and his anointing is just as great. So God's going to call you. Maybe you're here tonight, like, wait a minute, Dave, call me to be what? You're the pastor. But there's so many other callings. There's still so many other purposes. Every single person in this room tonight, whether you're the youngest or the oldest, whether you think you're retired or you're a student, God says, I've called you. It doesn't matter where you are. There is no too young or too old. I mean, Moses, you know, 80, Josiah, 8. There's no too old or too young. God's saying, I've called you, and my anointing on your life for my calling upon you is just as great as the anointing upon the pastor. It's not the anointing to be the pastor, but it's the anointing to be what I've called you to be. Does that make sense to everybody? The anointing, sometimes people say to me, oh, the anointing. I have the anointing to do what God's called me to do. It should scare you if I don't have an anointing to preach, because that's what God's called me to do. But that's what my anointing is to preach, because that's God's will for my life. He's put fire in my bones. I can't help this. This is divine. But that doesn't mean you're supposed to have that same anointing. In fact, if you did, there'd be a problem because, well, there'd be too many chiefs, not enough Indians in that sense. You have to accept and use the anointing that God has upon your life, which is just as great and just as important. It's just different. There's an anointing here. And the anointing, he says, is upon Bezaleel. So I have called him, verse 2, and now in verse 3, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge in all manner of workmanship. So first, he is a man of character through the Holy Spirit. Then he's a carpenter, a mason, a craftsman. You see, that's what, first and foremost tonight, folks, you're a Christian. I don't know what you do for a living, if you're a school teacher, a graphic designer, a stay-at-home mom, an engineer, whatever your title is, that's secondary to you being a Christian. You're a Christian. That's what you are. You're here to let the light of Jesus Christ shine through you, to win souls to him, to glorify his name, to grow his kingdom on earth. That's what your main purpose is. Everything else is secondary. Are you anointed? Is the Spirit of God upon your life? Are you filled with God's Spirit? He's called you, but are you filled with the Spirit? Because it's through being filled with the Spirit that he enables you. And whatever else that he's called you or enabled to be is secondary to you being Spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ. I've called him. I have filled him with my spirit. I've given him the wisdom, the knowledge, and all manner of craftsmanship or workmanship. And then here's why. Because there's a work to do. There's a work to be done, verse 4. I want there to be the devising of the cunning works, to work in gold and silver and in brass, and the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. Kind of overwhelming, isn't it? If you've been with us studying the tabernacle, you saw all of the furnishings. You saw all of the materials that were involved in all of the priestly garments, and you saw how entailing and detailed they were, and all the different colors and all the different fashioning that would take place through the gold and silver and bronze and everything else, and you saw what it was going to take, and it's kind of overwhelming. And if you're Bezalel, you're probably kind of feeling like, man, Lord, I feel like I'm a little, you know, over my head in this thing that you're calling me to. And I would suggest to you tonight that that's a good thing. That God should, the call in your life should always overwhelm you. Let me explain, but first swallow that. God's call upon your life should always cause you to kind of fret a little bit. Here's why. Because it keeps you completely dependent upon him. If you can do your calling or you can fulfill your vision without the anointing of God's Spirit, I would suggest to you it's not from God. The vision God gives you, the calling that God has upon your life should cause you to tremble to some degree. Because God wants to keep you humble and he wants you to remember, to keep focused, that I can't do a thing without him. And if his spirit were to be lifted for just an instant, everything would fall apart. There'd be a mess. I firmly believe that in my own life. I'm terrified of getting up here behind this pulpit, even on a Wednesday night where it's just a midweek Bible study, and not having the unction of God's Spirit, not having his Spirit give me something to speak to you. I don't want to do it. It scares me. I have so many people come in my office weekly, already a handful this week, to counsel with. I don't want to even respond and counsel somebody unless God's Spirit is anointing me to respond to them. I don't want to do it. You see, because I know that in and of myself, I'm inadequate to pastor a church. And I take comfort in that because God's calling on my life is too big for me apart from him.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.